Hollywood is rated LGBT radio, starring your host, Rob Watson!
And welcome to this installment of Rated LGBT Radio. Today we have an absolutely great show lined up for you. This is the second time our guest has been on the show. And our guest is none other than the one and only David Archuleta. David was on our show last year, and based on that show, I wrote up an article about David and our conversation that appeared in the Los Angeles Blade magazine. At the end of the year, that article and what David was doing was named the top entertainment article for the Los Angeles Blade for the year. So nothing that we have to compete with here, but we're going to have another great conversation because since that time, David has been busy, and we're going to talk to him about everything he's been doing and a lot of the milestones on his path. He has been very public about the path he's been on with both his sexuality and his spirituality. And so we're going to talk about that in detail. Should you not know who David is, in 2008, more than 30 million televised viewers fell in love with him. So if you love him, get in line. And it was his angelic voice, his bashful sweetness, and megawatt smile that inspired all that affection towards him. He was runner-up on season 7 of American Idol, and some say he should have won, but actually David should have always won. He also, last time we talked to him, he had just come off, again coming in second on The Masked Singer, which he also should have won. But anyway, he's a winner for us. He has sold a ton of records, and I won't get into all the numbers. He's been in the top 10 on Billboard charts on iTunes, which he recently hit the top 10 of iTunes again. He sold hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of records. He has got, more than that in terms of downloads, et cetera, et cetera. Today, we are going to actually be playing his latest song, which is a song called Held Together. And Held Together is, first of all, it's a very fun song to listen to and get ready to kind of bop out to it when we play it. But it also has in the background kind of a really profound aspect to it. It comes from a story that, or actually it comes from a situation that David was inspired by his mom. And this was after David decided that he was going to leave the Mormon church, and he publicly announced that. And his mom then texted him a few days later telling him that she also was going to leave the church, which as a profound, deeply devout Mormon, this shocked him. And what she said to him was, quote, "If you go to hell, we're going to hell with you. We're a family and we'll always be there for each other in good or in bad." And that inspired this song. So this song touches on kind of that spiritual place. And I've heard even in accepting families, Christian families, where somebody has come out as LGBTQ, where the parent is, I'm going to accept you, I'm going to love you, but I'm sad because after I die, I'm going to heaven and you won't ever be there. And that message is given to many, many, many people. This kind of turns that on its ear. There's a profound belief in the afterlife for virtually everybody, whether they're Christian or any other religion or even atheists have some belief in what happens after people pass away. But for those of us, or for those who are envisioning a paradise and a heaven and have that specifically outlined as to what that is, and they're only being good people because they want that reward, this song turns that kind of idea on its head. And don't forget, the people that hijacked planes and 9/11 and flew them into buildings and caused, you know, huge amount of pain, inspired two wars, those guys all had their own vision of what paradise and heaven awaited them based on those actions they took. So it's, my point is, the concept of what awaits us is very subjective. And here we have a mom who was willing to walk away from that concept of what was promised to her if she didn't accept her gay son, her LGBTQ son, and was willing to say, where you are is my heaven. And that's my personal interpretation of the song. So in the show, we are going to play the song, and you get to interpret it as you will, but there's my two cents on it right up front. Before we go to David, I do want to take a quick visit to Brody Levesque. Brody is the editor-in-chief of the Los Angeles Blade magazine. He is the one that brings you daily news affecting the LGBT community, and today is no exception. Brody, what is going on out there?
Hey, Rob, good afternoon. Good afternoon and good morning or good day to our listeners across the globe. We appreciate you subscribing to our podcast and downloading it, and it's available on all sorts of platforms. The stories that the Los Angeles Blade is tracking today, the two top stories, the first one deals with the Trevor Project. The Los Angeles Blade, the Washington Blade, along with a team of reporters, has been looking into the many issues surrounding the queer community's largest nonprofit for suicide prevention and crisis intervention for LGBTQ youth. Sadly, Trevor's in pretty bad shape. This week, we published a story. Trevor laid off 6% of its staff, which is less than a year after 12% of its workforce was laid off a year ago. There have been allegations of financial mismanagement, union busting activities on the part of the C-suite or the executive staff of Trevor. The interim CEO of Trevor has given my White House reporter a few statements and things. So if you'll head over to the Blade, the title is Trevor Project is Hit with Another Round of Layoffs. It's a lengthy, in-depth investigative piece by Chris Kane, our White House reporter. And it's just sad news, generally speaking. The reason this came about, Rob, was about a year ago. We were doing work on another story with another group out of Indianapolis. It's a nonprofit organization as well that also has a crisis intervention arm and crisis staffing for queer youth, particularly transgender youth and kids that are in, let's just say, less than gay friendly places. States like Texas, Utah, where your guest is from, and some of these other places. At that time, we were alerted to the fact that the Trevor Project, its website was taking forever to load, and then you couldn't get a chat function with a crisis counselor. Then we discovered calls were going unanswered or were on hold, and that developed in to our investigation of Trevor and the ensuing reporting that goes with it. It's linked again in the article that we published a couple of days ago. One of the other pieces that we're looking at, my esteemed colleague, journalist and contributor Aaron Reed, reported in a very critically important report was released in the United Kingdom. It was released, basically made public yesterday. It deals with the British UK National Health Service, which is also known as NHS. This report targets basically gender-affirming care in the UK. It's awful. It was written by a UK pediatrician by the name of Dr. Hilary Cass. She is a known transphobe. And so much of the report was to be expected. However, it went beyond what most of the advocacy and activist community was looking for. The report, among other things, called for restrictions on gender-affirming care and social transition, obviously for trans youth, but then it even advocated blocking trans adults under the age of 20 from entering adult care. I talked to a transgender activist and writer earlier today, Bryn Tannehill, who also writes for the Los Angeles Blade and has been a guest on this show. What this basically translates to with Britain's National Health Service is that if this goes through, even if they're 25, they've still got almost a decade worth of wait because of the backlog, okay, for any kind of gender-affirming care. So we're talking age 35 or better. What activists and advocates, including the folks at Stonewall UK, are concerned about, and rightly so, is that this is going to drive the suicide rates off the charts in the UK. It's also going to create some serious political upheaval, headaches for the ruling Tory party. Scotland has long maintained that it will support trans rights and trans health care, even though they've been told they can't have a referendum for independence from the UK. This could do the tipping scale on it, and you could see literally Scotland breaking away from the UK and petitioning the European Union for recognition as its own independent state. So this does have further implications. The last thing is then I need to bounce back to Louisiana. Last night, the capital city of Baton Rouge was under several tornado watches. There were all sorts of severe weather. They actually have one tornado touchdown. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because it didn't stop Republican lawmakers, okay, in a committee hearing to advance two horrible pieces of anti-LGBTQ legislation. The first one passed as House Bill 121, which prohibits use of trans and non-binary youth chosen names and pronouns in K-12 schools without parental permission. It also requires what we call, you know, professional outing by faculty and staff to parents, which, as you know, Rob, in some households, a trans kid has very non-affirming parents. Yeah, that one could cause all sorts of other issues. Then the other one is basically another version of Don't Say Gay, which, as you know, was infamously passed and signed into law working on 2.5 years ago by the state of Florida. This is yet another iteration of that same law. This one was advanced by Dodie Horton, who is absolutely homophobic and transphobic, and she's also a self-proclaimed Christian nationalist, which makes her dangerous. She's also another Republican. It's a Don't Say Gay bill. So they've got tornadoes landing outside of the state house, and they're inside instead of taking shelter, busy making sure that, yeah, we get the gays and the trannies. That's how that one works itself out. If I sound like I'm a little angry, it is because I am.
Yeah.
And with that, so, not to put kind of a squelch on everything.
Right. No, one thing on the British thing, of course, J.K. Rowling has already pushed that out and is making a big deal about that report. But I did have a question for you on the first story, or actually an addendum. Rainbow Youth USA, and I hope I'm saying that right, .com, is running a special tomorrow. Go to their website, and if you go to eat at Panda Express, there's a code there, and if you eat at Panda Express and enjoy their food and give them this promotional code, there's amount of your money that you're spending that will be donated to Rainbow Youth USA, which is a good alternative to what's happening at the Trevor Project.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
So shout out for those of you like me that like orange chicken. There you go. I'll let you get into it with our guest. Greetings, David Archuleta. As always, it's nice to have you back on the show. And Rob, I'll toss it back to you.
Great. So with that, and without further ado, welcome, David. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. Good to be back with you.
It is great to be back with you. Wow, you've been very busy. And first of all, congratulations on your GLAAD Breakthrough Artist Award. You just won that one, and well deserved.
Thank you.
What did that feel like, getting up in front of the, not the whole community, but it's certainly a representation of the LGBT community, and feeling our love?
It felt, I mean, it was wonderful. It was totally unexpected. I thought Ice Spice was going to win, is what I thought. And so I was like, what? But, yeah, it was very nice to be recognized by the community I've now, you know, embraced to be, like, step into, one that I've always been a part of, but just was afraid to, you know, join. And
right,
that everyone's been so receptive has been really wonderful, and I just hope to keep contributing in a positive way and making a positive impact on behalf of the community, and just as a person and any other way.
Yeah, I think you contribute in, I mean, every person is unique, including celebrities, but your contribution is very sweetly unique. Because you bring a voice and a representation that is heartwarming and special and inspiring on a lot of levels. And it's, I mean, you're inspiring because you're brave, first of all, because you're standing up against a church that has been very vocally anti-LGBTQ for a good period of time. And it's not that you've stood up and fought them sorry about that. But you,
okay.
You represent them still spiritually. I mean, there's, you take forward a spiritual positivity out of that. And I'm gonna go back and reference what happened to you in Chile when you came out to your church leader down there, where he actually said to you, "This is the most important day of your life," just your own self revelation. What seed did that is? Do you look back on that as the best day of your life?
Well, I wouldn't say, I guess I don't look at it as like the best day of my life, but I feel like it was a pretty significant day. It wasn't just being queer. There were a couple of other things I talked to him that I feel like it made a significant impact. I'm writing a book actually, so I'll go into, I guess, more like that day and just events surrounding it. But I feel like he's a good example of the character of a lot of people who are in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, aka Mormons. They're trying to rebrand the Mormon and kind of put emphasis on, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ, because that's like the official name. And I try to, even though I'm not in the church anymore, I still try to respect what they believe. I still have a lot of friends, a lot of family still who actively participate in it, and they've all been very supportive of me on my journey. So I just try to still respect and love them as they choose what they feel makes them feel purpose and a sense of belonging and identity and a reason to keep going about, you know, in their lives. But so I really don't look at, you know, in one way, I guess I've stood up to the church, and in another way, I still try to respect them because I feel like the members of the church, if any of the religious groups of people who followed me, I feel like Mormons have been the most supportive, or Latter-day Saints have been the most supportive of me on my journey. And of course, on the other side, a lot of members of that church, Mormons, have opposed what I do and how I go about it. But I would say a really big percentage of people who are Mormon a Latter-day Saint, I keep, they really try to understand where the LGBT community is coming from. And I feel like also taught to not speak out of line and to speak out against what their leaders have taught them. They don't speak out more than they probably would from what their hearts tell them. And I think it really has to go down with like what some of a handful of the leaders of the church, how they view the LGBT community and the LGBT experience. So I guess in that sense, yeah, I would be standing up a little bit just to kind of, as a lot of people who, for example, Tyler Glenn from Neon Trees, Dan Reynolds from Imagine Dragons with Love Loud, mm-hmm. they've all tried to kind of bring awareness to, hey, your approach isn't as friendly to the queer community as it should be and as a lot of other places and communities are. So why don't we take another look at this and some misunderstandings that and rumors that are going on about the LGBTQ plus community. And because there hasn't been as much response and as much movement to make something happen, then it's like, okay, well, that's why I left. You know, I'm like, well, I'm going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go into, I'll go into the specifics of why I came to that conclusion. Cause I being friends with Dan Reynolds, I'd be like, oh, well, I get his point. I see it, but there is some things that I went through, some conversations I had that specifically led me to be like, okay, this is not the right place for me to be. It's not healthy for me. I need to go somewhere healthier. And I'll, like I said, I'll go into it in the book that I'm writing the book. I was writing it today, actually, before I got on on this call with you. So I'm really looking forward to just kind of helping people, especially people who are still part of the Mormon community, help them understand why, what they may not be seeing fully on the LGBTQ plus experience, especially
right.
in the church.
Yeah, I relate to that so much because when, I started writing columns and putting my story out there with adopting my two baby boys and, being a gay dad and having a gay family. And it was the same thing where, I come from the Christian background and it was, there were so many people saying, you can't be a family, you can't get married, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't have children, you can't be a father. And, so being out there and representing that, yes, I could, and I would address Christians specifically, not to put them down, but to show them that they don't have to give up their values and accept LGBTQ people. I mean, it's not one or the other, that, you can have your spirituality and you can have, your acceptance at the same time. At the top of the show, I mentioned about your inspiration for your new song, Held Together. Tell us a little bit more about that reaction when you got that text from your mom. What was your gut instinct when you saw that she was going to leave the church with you?
I was pretty surprised because my mom was very devout, just like I was when I was religious. And so I didn't hear from her for a few days after it was announced that I stepped away from the Mormon church, and she didn't message me for a few days. And I thought, oh, okay, I pissed her off. and I'm not sure what she's thinking right now.
Oh,
and when
I
finally
silence,
heard that,
I know.
It wasn't until she said that I was, it wasn't until the very first thing she told me was, I decided to step away from the church. And I was just like, whoa, that was not the response I was waiting to hear from my mom. I thought she was going to say, hey, like, son, I wish you the best or whatever. But for her to say, decided to step away from the church, I'm like, oh, wow, what was your, I had so many questions myself. But then she said, well, I don't want to be somewhere that my children don't feel welcomed and loved. And she said, if you're going to hell, then we're all going to hell with you. So that was the inspiration for the song after that.
Well, since you came out, because you're living your life incredibly publicly. I mean, it's like your every step of coming. In fact, you've talked about in the past where even as you were self-revealing your sexuality to yourself, you would then literally forget it, where your mind would shut it down. It's like, so, you know, a lot of your own discussion around it, your own revelations around it have been both publicly in what you've talked about and what you sing about. Where have you evolved in your awareness of yourself over like the past year? I mean, has the needle changed at all for you, or are you pretty much where you were when you came out?
No, I would say a lot has changed for sure. And I, just lifestyle, transitioning out of faith from a mindset, you're programmed to view the world a certain way and perceive other people and your actions, behaviors in a certain way, because you're kind of, you're like checking yourself to see if you fall in line with what you're supposed to do. And even after stepping away from the church at first, you're still out of habit, still doing that without even thinking, subconsciously. And so I think every day is a learning process where you're reprogramming yourself to view things in a new way. And it was very scary at first, but also exciting. And now it's just, each day is a bit exciting. And sometimes you kind of relapse into thinking the way that you thought before. And it's like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Is this okay? Am I a bad person? Am I lost? Like, what is it, you? But at the same time, I wouldn't say I have the, you get yourself back on track and keep going. And it's like, okay, like, hey, I'm still here. I'm okay. I haven't been struck by lightning or anything. I'm still okay, and I'm happy and feeling good, learning how to love myself regardless of whatever mistakes would have been considered mistakes before. It's like, I'm still here and alive and happy and doing well and thriving.
Right. So have you, the songs that you put out, I mean, because there's some awesome music that you put out in the last year. You know, they're super danceable, and you know, the Afraid to Love, where, you know, that one is incredibly hot. I love the extended version the most, but it's where you're basically declaring that you no longer are going to be afraid to love. I guess my hope for you is that there is an object of your affection, that there is somebody who is being the recipient of your love and loving you back. And not to get personal, but it's happening.
Well, thank you.
You deserve it. You're incredibly special.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
The song I'm Yours, you know, is again another one. It's like sort of announcing your presence, and you know, what writing those songs, what is your motivation behind them and your thought process?
I'm Yours and Afraid to Love, they were like my back-to-back summer songs last year in 2023. And after coming out, it's like, okay, I spent enough time like grieving and like mourning, like feeling all this like heaviness. I opened up the year up with a song called Up right after I was on The Masked Singer. And it was kind of like that transitional period of feeling down and feeling like you hit rock bottom. And
right.
Then it's like, okay, the only way I'm going is up from here. There's nowhere to go but up when you hit the bottom. And I think that's a good, like, it's a scary feeling because you don't see what's up and above the darkness, but then you get there and it's like, oh, it's a beautiful place to be here. And to accept yourself, your queer identity. And so I'm Yours and Afraid to Love were just both songs that I wanted to reflect the happiness, the good energy, the vibrance that comes into accepting yourself and feeling comfortable in your own skin as part of the LGBTQ+ community.
What you wrote a few years ago, based on a song that you wrote, which was a song that was inspired in a dream, that you had, you wrote a children's book called My Little Prayer. And in that book, you basically were sending a message to a child that, you know, praying to God, that God might not answer the prayers, but God had something always better than what you might pray for. Is that, mm-hmm. do you still embrace that experience today? And how much of a theme is of that is going into your grown-up book?
Well, I think there are two different times of my life. So the children's book I wrote when I was still very much a part of my religion. And so that I was looking through and the way I was communicating with other people and how I understood life. And the book I'm writing now is, you know, after the faith transition. So it's just a different lens, the same person, but looking at life in a different way. But I would say both perspectives, both times came from the heart and were meaningful and came sincerely from how I was interpreting, you know, life and trials and how to learn and how to overcome things. So, yeah, I still am really happy I got to do that children's book. It was really beautiful. I love being able to explain things in a way that even a child can understand. And so My Little Prayer, the book and the song were both about, okay, what do you do when you want something but you don't get what you're asking for, and how do you learn how to keep going forward? How do you deal with disappointment? How do you keep going even when things don't turn out the way you wanted them to? And I would say I have a completely different perspective on that, and I look forward to writing about, you know, I guess the next chapter in a sense of where I was when I first wrote that song and book of My Little Prayer.
What is kind of your spiritual perspective now in terms of God guiding your life and God having a plan for you? Or do you still ascribe to that, or are you less, or was that part of what you left?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, I've had like a faith transition out of anything that's really organized and structured. And so it's something that I still like appreciate and I value. It was like a time in my life that was significant, but it's not something that I really grasp to or cling to right now. And I feel like that, and this religion in general, I've had a different perspective because leaving the Latter-day Saint Mormon religion, in order to separate yourself from the ideologies that you are really like fused with, in order to detach yourself from that, you have to find a way to separate yourself from those ideologies. And in order to do that, you have to see, okay, well, where did this come from? Where did these ideas that mm-hmm. I, like a lot of them I valued a lot, but that when they started being harmful to me, I have to understand them, like get to the root of where they originated from. And so you just kind of look at how, okay, and I'll probably delve into that a little more in the book as well that I'm writing. I'm hoping I have enough room because I feel like I've there's a lot I want to say in the book, but there's only so much that I have to say that I like on my contract. It's like, okay, we want it to be this many pages and these many words. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how do I get to everything that I want to say? But I definitely want to leave some room. Right now I'm in the process of talking about the backstory. Like I've just finished writing about my time on American Idol and after that, and I'm going to get into the process of like talking about my mission when I was a missionary for 2 years, getting mm-hmm. back from that, my involvement in the church, and then coming to realization with my queer identity, and then also coming to realization of like deconstructing my beliefs that I once had that were my everything. And so I'm hoping that I can delve into that a little more with that and the more nitty gritty of all of that, because I feel like there's a lot to say.
I hope so. Yeah. No, I hope so, because I think that is, I mean, I think that's part of your uniqueness. I mean, it comes through in your music. I mean, it's there. It's there. I mean, and I don't think, I know that your music reflects different periods of time for you. I mean, you know, because, you know, from the therapy album and even your Christmas music and everything else. But I think still in each aspect of your music, you are there. And your spiritual through line is consistent through there, even as you have evolved in other parts of who you are and your self-expression. And so, yeah, then I've dealt with those kind of things as a writer where you're restricted and all that. So I just, you know, I'm going to put out a prayer that you get to capture your authentic voice in all that, because I think you have something unique and valuable to say. In that. David, I know we have limited time with you today, and so I'm going to save playing your song for after we have to let you go. So we will play that at the end of the show today. But what do you want people to know about you now, you know, on this public stage of David Archuleta, the music, and I'm going to use this word loosely, product and brand? What do you want people to think of you as your brand right now?
I would say, like, the theme in my brand right now is just transitions. People knew me as a kid. People knew me as a devout Mormon. And now I'm trying to show them I'm not a kid anymore. I'm not a Mormon anymore. I'm not even religious anymore. That doesn't change the core of what makes me who me. And I feel like people, I guess I'm trying to figure out who I am, you know? And I feel like a lot of people, a lot of us spend a lot of time trying to figure out who we are. Because we don't expect life to happen the way that it does. And your perspective changes. It's kind of like Santa Claus. When you're a kid, you believe Santa Claus is real and that's how things were. And when you woke up Christmas morning, like, presents would be there given by Santa traveling with his reindeer. And when you grow up, you suddenly realize, oh, it's not, you suddenly, like, the world teaches you that's actually not how it is. And you kind of like, wait, then, so what's the meaning of the holidays if that's not what it's about? And
right.
You kind of have to find a new reason and construct a new purpose and meaning behind what you celebrated once as a kid, innocently, with big eyes. And it doesn't mean, you know, so it's, I feel like that's how life feels for me. And I'm trying to make sense of it, but it's exciting. And sometimes there's heartbreak in the realizations and there's loss. But at the same time, it doesn't mean you can't start over again and make something new and beautiful and even greater than what you thought the world was before. And I'm hoping to expand that with my music. Fan story and the, you know.
Yeah. And, no, in all aspects, yeah. And I think you're doing that. I mean, I absolutely think you're doing that. Everything I hear from you and see, it's like, you know, you're expressing it beautifully and inspirationally. And, you know, I think, you know, I think your analogy about Christmas is perfect, because it's, you know, there is something there that even when they take away the stuff and you kind of go, what was that and why was that important? There still is a principle deep down that it carries through. I'm like you. I'm like very spiritual and everything else, but not tied to a religion any longer. And, you know, there's a lot of depth there. And I appreciate that in everything that you're putting out. And I cannot wait to read your book. So I'm pins and needles about that one. What is coming up for you musically? What new releases after the current one is planned?
Yeah, and also, I do want to address, I don't know what spirituality looks like for me quite yet. That's kind of something, I don't know what religion, I feel like I have a completely different perspective on religion, even since the last time I spoke to you, and I'm trying to make sense of, well, what even is spirituality? You know, it's quite confusing because, but like I said, I guess I'll get into detail about that, but with music, you know, Held Together, I feel, is pretty significant, and you know, a lot of people from my previous community were really upset because they're like, why would you say going to hell together? Like, that's so inappropriate. But it's like, you know, I think that's how you get people's attention. And sometimes you have to do things that are a little controversial to bring attention and awareness to things that people otherwise wouldn't pay attention to. And I think that was the point. It's like, well, you tell a lot of religious people, whether it's Christian or and other religions, Muslim, a lot of people who grew up in religion believe that people in the LGBT community are going to hell, that they're not going where everyone else is going. And so it's kind of like, I feel like the LGBTQ plus community has had to kind of own that and kind of like, you know, laugh it off in a bit, be a bit satirical with it. It's like, well, if you think we're going here anyway, like, Lil Nas X was a great example of this, where he was, when he came out, like all of these religious people were saying, well, you're going to hell. And then he made a TikTok talking about how he made the song. I'm blanking, but it's Call Me What You Want, Call Me What You Need, Call Me By Your Name. That's what it's called. And
right.
In the music video, he's like sliding down a pole into hell, essentially. And then everyone's like, how could you do something like that? That's so inappropriate. And he was like, the point is, you guys told me I was going there anyway, so I'm just trying to, like, because I was gay before I even did this. So in your minds, I was already going there. Like, I'm trying to make a point here that I think people don't realize what they're saying a lot of times to the queer community. And so I think it was just essentially the same thing. It's like, well, think about it. Like, why are so many people, especially queer people, why are they leaving religion? And
right.
Trying to start the conversation of like, well, why do you keep pushing them out of the community? When a lot of them have come out, they didn't say they were leaving, but a lot of times they're encouraged to leave. Why is that? You know, it's like people don't want queer people in their religious communities. And I think that's a conversation that needs to happen. And not just Christians, but I think Christians and Muslims, like people who are religions that are very conservative and look at marriage having and relationships having to be in the traditional format, they need to take that into consideration. And they just aren't in a place where they are yet. But I think it needs to happen. And so I'm hoping, like, for example, with my community in Utah, that I'm hoping that this song starts a little bit more, pushes that conversation forward a little more. But I am releasing another song soon. And it's a song that I released before – I'm sorry, not released. I wrote before I wrote Hell Together, so it's a little more in, like, a moody, vulnerable, insecure place. And Hell Together, while I guess – I look at it as a triumphant song. Like, this is a song that's about, people are like, this is so heartbreaking. And I'm like, really? I don't look at it that way. I feel like, yeah, it comes from like a place where you feel the pain, but it's rising above that pain. Whereas the next song is a little more like in the midst of the pain. So
right.
I'm excited. I still love the song. I like, it's one of my favorite ones, which is why I'm releasing it next. And I'm excited for people to hear it.
Well, I'm going to tell you, your music means so much to me personally. So thank you for it alone and for being you on that. And, you know, and being very, you know, open and, you know, you take us all on your journey. And it is a universal journey. We're you know, in one way or another. I mean, we each have, I think our spirituality is like our sexuality. It's like, it's not one size fits all. We each have our own uniqueness, but I totally agree with you. And, you know, I've asked those questions myself against religion is why do you not want gay people here? And I've asked that of the family concept, because when Fighting for Marriage Equality was, why do you not want gay people to have marriage and families? Why are we a threat because we have our own family that you can't have yours? And I think their answer is, unfortunately, we don't have enough time because I could talk to you for hours on this stuff. But so I'm in the same dilemma you are with your writing, that, yeah, there are conversations to be had there. But anyway, David, I got a note that you have another demand on you, which is not surprising if people want to talk to you. So I do have to let you go for here, and we're going to play your song after you depart. But lots of love to you, full support, love your journey, love your work, and especially appreciate you spending time with us here today.
Oh, thank you, Robert. Well, it's a pleasure, as it was the last time to talk to you. So thank you again for having me.
Anytime. Come back. And I will actually, I'm going to preface that anytime. I am dying to talk to you after your book comes out, because I will read the whole thing and I know I want to talk to you about it. So there's an invitation.
I hope you enjoy
it.
I'm like nervous. I'm like, I hope I get everything I need to say in it. It's I'm not like a book writer. So this is like an interesting, well, I guess I wrote the children's book, but it was just my lyrics. Song lyrics I use, so it's interesting to like go into a whole book, but I'm writing it's so far so good, so it's gone well and I'm feeling good.
No, if you need a beta reader, I signed up because I do write, so you know, put me on that list because I can't wait, and I would tell you the truth. So
well, thank you.
Well
great to talk to you.
I'm gonna let you go.
And
yeah. As you depart, we're gonna play your brand new song, Held Together. And by the way, whichever place you go is the place I wanna go to. So you and your mom would not be alone.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Robert.
All right. We're gonna say goodbye to David. You too. And until we speak again, I can't wait. And now we're going to play Held Together by David Archuleta.
Bow your head, don't be bold. You'll survive by doing what you're told. Said love is earned, and we can't choose. But the more you grow, you know the truth. And all I want is to make you proud. If I would run, would I let you down? You said if I have to live without you, I don't want to live forever. If someone else is having, so let us close the gate. Oh, if they don't like the way. They read. I'm afraid of letting go of the version of me that I used to know. Crying tears in Sunday crowds. Took my hand and we walked out. You said if I have to live without you, I don't want. Oh, we'll go to hell. Without you, I don't want to live forever in someone else's heaven. So let them close the gates. If they don't like the way you're made, then they're not any better. If paradise is pressure, oh, we'll go to hell together.
Beautiful. That was Held Together by David Archuleta, and that and his other songs, which include Afraid to Love, I'm Yours, Up, Faith in Me, Movin', Okay, All Right, and Up All Night are all available on iTunes. And we look forward to that will come out sometime in the future. For those of us at Rated LGBT Radio, that is it for today. Please come back next week. We have another great show lined up for you. Also, if you liked our discussion around music, catch our recent podcast with Tom Goss, another singer-songwriter, and we play a couple of his songs on that podcast as well. So we bring you the best guys and the best music and the best films and the best books. So stay tuned for many, much more of that in the future. That's it for us for today, and we will talk to you again very, very soon.
You've been listening to Rated LGBT Radio!